I'm Corrine. I'm a compulsive overeater. I live in San Diego, California. I have 13 years of continuous abstinence. This is not my first time in OA. I came in the 80s, early 80s. Stayed for a couple of years, lost the weight, and then left, cured, and of course gained it all back. Came back in the mid 90s. Did the same thing, but I did work the steps and had a sponsor, and ended up leaving again. And at that time, I left to go into therapy, which was at the recommendation of my sponsor. Came back again in 2000, went the steps a bit, left again. So when I came back this time, this was in 2011. It was I'm here to stay. There is nothing that is going to make me leave again because I knew the answer was here. I always did. So going back to the beginning, the early days, I'm a second child in a large family, eight children. In my family, if you wanted seconds, you had to eat quickly. And so I learned early on to gobble my food down without chewing properly. I learned to always these were from my family, okay? I learned that we always had dessert. So I was used to always having a sweet after dinner. The other thing was in the Italian side of my family, they didn't like leftovers. So it was they kept passing the plates around until everything was gone. Oh, there's one potato left. Who's going to eat that? Okay, we've got a helping here of this. Who's going to eat that? So I was taught that even though you were full, you were never full enough because there was always room for more. So that was an early childhood attitude that that I grew up with. So eating to excess, finishing everything on your plate. Oh, that was a big one. It just was a habit, no matter how much you put on your plate, you had to finish what was on your plate, even though you weren't hungry, but there was always room for more. It was like this concept of eating that was skewed. It wasn't right, but that's the way I grew up. So by the age of, let's see, 14, I learned how to restrict my food. I decided that the only way I was going to get new clothes of my own was to be a smaller size than my older sister. And so I learned how to lie about my food, about what I was eating and when I was eating, and, dropped a dress size at least or more. So my parents had to buy me my own uniform. Okay, it wasn't a hand-me-down for my sister. So I was really proud of that. And this is how I learned how to restrict, how to control my weight, by not eating. At 21 and 22, I decided that exercise was a great way to control my weight. I wanted to drop a dress size before I came back to the States. I'd been overseas for 3.5 years. And so I used a jump rope for hours and hours every day. And that's how I lost weight. So I found exercise can also be a cool way, to lose weight. So as I got a little older, I worked on a night crew in a grocery store, and the night crew chief used to bring around these little handful of little white pills and say, "Here, take a couple. It'll help you stay awake." Well, it not only helped you stay awake, it helped you work a lot faster. And in those days, we called those little white pills speed. So I also found that that was good for, for weight control too. So dabbled in that for a little while. But at the age of 30, that's when I first experienced being really overweight. And that's I had a pregnancy that I went food crazy and just ate everything in sight and gained over 50 pounds and didn't lose it after having the baby. And then a successive pregnancy and several more. And so anyway, there I was ballooning up to over 200 and unable to use any of my tricks to control my weight anymore. The restricting didn't work, the exercising, over exercising didn't work. And that is what brought me to Overeaters Anonymous. And I can remember standing in my kitchen at the cupboards, holding the doors, and just going, "Oh, please, God, Help me. I don't know what to do. I need to stop. And into my head popped Overeaters Anonymous. And I really don't know where it came from, where I'd heard it. It just came into my So I looked in the yellow pages, for those of you that can remember what those were, found a listing. It may have been in the white pages, but I can't remember. Found Overeaters Anonymous, and there was a meeting the next night in my town. And so I went, and that began my experience with Overeaters Anonymous. So fast forward, I told you about my dabbling in losing the weight and leaving and losing the weight and leaving. So 2011, I had three sons get married in the same year. When the first son got married, with all the hoopla that went with a large family wedding, I gained 20 pounds. And I became so panicked. It was like, oh my God, I've gained 20 pounds. I've got two more weddings to get through before the end of the year. Is that 20 pounds a wedding? So that and my health issues brought me back to OA. My knees hurt. I had a heart condition. It was just there was a chronic acid reflux. I came back humbled and willing to do whatever I was told. So I got a sponsor. Began working the steps. I was pretty introverted at that time. I sat in the back of the room for 6 months without talking, taking notes, but I was by the back door and I was one of the first ones to leave. I did get a sponsor though. I had enough sense to do that. So I began working the steps, but it took me time to come out of my shell and begin joining in fellowship and getting to meet other people. But over time, that changed. I joined a step study and I became acquainted with other people and began my recovery, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. I became abstinent right away when I came back, but mainly because I had already been in OA and I knew what abstinence meant. So I got a jump start on that. 2 days before my first meeting, I stopped eating between meals and stopped overeating. So I knew that what the formula was as far as the food part of it. What I didn't get, and it took me a long time, was the spiritual aspect of it. That took me longer than I would have expected because I came from a religious background. But what I didn't realize was that I came in with a religious superiority and conceit, that, oh, I've got that part of it wired. I don't, one, two, and three, no problem. What I realized as I was working the steps, in step studies, and was that the third step was my stumbling block. I had given my higher power. I gave him, years ago, I gave him my finances. I gave him my husband. I gave him my children. I gave him my business. But I didn't give him all of me. I didn't give him my whole life and will. I just gave segments of my life and gave those over to him because I knew I had no control of those. I gave him my food and that worked. I was abstinent. But it took time for me to realize that no, when I get up every morning, that is when I need to commit my day and everything that happens, to my higher power. That took time and it took years. And each year I got a little bit closer, a little bit closer to the mark. It was a little bit, I got it a little more. Today, I'm still not perfect at it, but I'm a whole lot better than I was when I came in 13 years ago. My spiritual recovery has, given me an opportunity to do things I never thought was possible. I had worked in a convalescent home and I was never going to go back and visit people in those places, right? Because it was awful. And yet, because my higher power gave me the strength and courage, I was able to visit a sponsee the last 2 years of her life every week, once a week, visit her faithfully, to do that. And that was a biggie for me. That was amazing that I could do that. But it was my higher power. He gave me the strength, to be able to do that. Today, life is a lot different. I am calmer. I'm happier. I am the happiest I have ever been in my life. I'm 75. I have six children. I have 17 grandchildren. I have a big life outside of OA, But I am the happiest since I came to OA. It gave me that inner peace that I could not find anywhere else in my circles, my friends, my church. You know, that inner peace, you know, from this spiritual growth that I experienced in it, which started with my food, giving my food to my higher power. I'm amazed at it, you know, when I look back over it and I think, you know, how did that happen? You know, how was I able to, you know, do that? And there are certain things that really helped me, and I want to share those with you because they were, you know, they helped in changing who I am. And one of them was in the book Overeaters Anonymous, the third edition, you know, this one, I think most of you are probably familiar with that, right? And Roseanne's story, which is the first chapter in that book, gave me hope. I needed hope. And the hope came from the fact that she struggled. You know, she's founded this organization in 1960. And by 1972, she was fired by the board of trustees because she was had gained her weight back and was no longer abstinent. And she struggled for 15 years, you know, to get it back and to keep it. And so that gave me the confidence that, okay, even if I do lose my abstinence, I know that I can get it back. Our founder did that. She was amazing, you know, that she stayed. And that was the thing I never did before. I never stayed. I needed to just stay here. And so by the grace of God, I, you know, have stayed abstinent. But I have that hope that it's okay, you know, that I am loved and cherished no matter what, and that by the, you know, that I can with my, the help of my higher power continue on this journey. The other things that really helped me were in the same book, in the appendices, and I don't know if you've ever done that. Read the appendices in this book. So important. One of them talks, you know, about, you know, one's food, one's spiritual, one's physical. But the amazing information I got from those appendices at the back of that book really gave me the academic knowledge that I needed to link with the spiritual journey that this program can put you on. And so I'm really grateful for that. You know, I'm you know, I read the big book a lot. You know, my life is really kind of OA oriented. My calendar is, you know, the OA things are listed on there and are prominent. My husband honors those, and so I'm really grateful for that. I sponsor a lot, probably too much, because when people say, "How many sponsees do you have?" You know, I kind of hem and haw and go, "I'm really not sure." You know, but I'm retired now and I have the time and I have that desire to share whatever I can to help other people to take this journey. I'm grateful to my home groups, which really support me a lot. I'm in a permanent step study. We start over every January. This will be my 11th year. Finishing this year, but it goes January through the end of October, beginning of November. And that has kept me, you know, true to this program, working the steps consistently, looking at my character defects. And you'd think, oh, eventually you get perfect. And it's no, because life changes. And then, you know, and then we change. And then my, you know, the way I perceive things is different. Lately, I've been struggling with self-pity. And with self-centeredness. And I had some people come into my home that were required some a lot of care. And I had to face into the fact that, you know, my needs were petty compared to their needs, and that you know, I was not the center of the world, you know, when it came to you know, not illnesses, but you know, diseases and different things that happen to you as you get older, you know, those owies, your body, you get up in the morning and something doesn't feel right. But I learned a lot that God, every person that God brings into my life is there for a purpose. And I've come to really truly believe and to face into that and to go come into these experiences with other people with an acceptance that they're here for a reason. And so I try to not be judgmental about who's here and why, and just kind of, okay, God, let's just, see what's going on here. And I've been really fortunate that my husband's been very supportive this time around in OA. Wasn't the first three times. So I look back on that and I go, well, maybe I would have stayed if he'd been more supportive. But, I always stuck him with the kids. He was always left taking care of the kids. So maybe that was part of the problem. I don't know. But it, looking back, it doesn't matter. What matters is today that I am 100% committed to this program today. I love working the steps. I really, try to work, use the tools. I'm pretty faithful about that. Do a 10 step every night. In the morning, I do 20 minutes of prayer and meditation. And one thing that I do every night that 3 years ago was the real turning point in my spiritual growth was that I started saying the third step prayer on my knees by my bed at night. And that really, there was like an awakening that occurred within me spiritually when I started doing that. And so it's a practice now that I know that I will continue because it just feels right for me, to do that. So, my friends, I am so grateful that Malia asked me to speak today, and I hope that in some way, something I've said can help you. If not, listen to someone else today because we learn from each other. What I say is not right for everyone. I am big on strategies on what kind, and this is the question that I'm going to pose later if you want to talk on it, is what strategies are working for you today to help you with your program? And I'm just going to share a couple of mine. My strategies of I frame my food. I gather my food for my meal and I make a mental frame around that. That is enough. This is balanced. This is before I take the first bite, right? And then I eat the meal. That means no going back for seconds. That is enough right there. I do food prep so that I can be prepared to eat, come in and have meals. Food prep is really important. Another strategy is when I eat out, nothing that comes on that table before the meal I ordered is my food. I don't care what they put on the table and, oh, here's this, here's that. No, that's not my food. I didn't order that. I try to order wisely and then I never have anything afterwards. And that's part of my food strategy is that works for me. If people decide to have dessert, I'll have a cup of decaf coffee. The other thing is, strategy wise, I'm kind of leaving my head right now. But there are a lot of things that I do that make it possible for me to stay and easier for me to stay abstinent. So, things that work in your program, I think that it's important, to pay attention to those. But I am so grateful that that you are all here today. So I hope you'll hear something today that's going to help you in your program. So thank you so much.